much water do you drink per day? Chances are it's nowhere near enough. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back with more information on hydration after this.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Get ready to guzzle. The typical man is supposed to drink 15 and a half cups of water per day, and women are recommended 11 and a half. Think that's overdoing it a bit? Think again. You know how cars need oil and gasoline to run properly? Well, water's like both of those things at once, but for humans. Water helps the body lubricate joints, form saliva, cushion the brain and spinal cord, maintain a healthy temperature, and much, much more. To make sure you're drinking enough, buy one of those huge thermoses. Fill it up each morning and bring it to work with you. Just sip on it throughout the day and you'll be good. And no, coffee doesn't count. Believe me, I checked. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, the private AI-free email alternative.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Amen. And into the weekend. I don't know how it is where you are, but I woke up, it was 1 degree below zero this morning. Talk about cold. And yet, I'm coming into my coming up on 2 weeks of sunshine and blue skies every day. I love it. Absolutely love it. Michigan, if you've ever been here in the wintertime, is a very gloomy, overcast, miserable kind of a place. In fact, I think in the wintertime, those of you, wherever you're living in the wintertime, it's now January, it's the end of January here, coming up on February and March, which are the coldest months of the year. So we're still heading into the worst of it. But in this history-making, record-breaking cold that we're experiencing all around the country, I have been reflecting on the difference between cold, as in temperature, as in a low thermometer, and gloom, as in no sunshine. And I have to say, if I had to pick one or the other, I would prefer to be in a place that was cold but super bright than in a place that was warm but overcast. And I say that having grown up in Southern California, where in the wintertime, you may not have thought about California this way. You know that song, "It Never Rains in California, but Boy, Don't They Warn You When It Pours," right? It rains a lot in Southern California in the wintertime. In fact, that's why you would see all of those news stories, and maybe you're seeing them even now, but I'm not seeing them in the news, but the news stories of the houses, the mansions, the mega mansions that were along the Pacific Coast Highway on the ocean falling into the sea. And it felt like maybe January, February, we would see landslides, more and more landslides every year, and these houses crumbling and tumbling down the cliffs. And that's because it would rain so much that the water would seep into the ground and the ground just couldn't hold up. And it is dreary out there, rainy and dreary. The couple of years, well, what did I spend? 10, 15 years in New England, in Boston and New Hampshire. Absolutely beautiful. Actually, I spent more than that, 20 some years. I was there a while. In the wintertime, cold as can be, freezing cold, but not super cold. I mean, not like now. cold like for my California self, which wasn't used to it. It would get down sometimes to the single digits, but for the most part in the winter in New England, it would be in the 20s, the 30s, somewhere in that range. And the thing that was so amazing about it, though, is that unlike Southern California, where you wouldn't see the sunshine for sometimes 6 weeks, it might peek its way through a cloud once in a while. But other than that, it was raining and dreary and overcast, even though it was in the 50s, and sometimes maybe even in the 60s. But so dreary. And yet in New Hampshire, it would be down to, 22 degrees, but the sun would be shining. And it would be shining not just on green grass, but on white snow. And so sometimes you'd even need sunglasses to go out in it because it was so brilliantly bright. And the reason we're so affected by this, I'm going to talk about Tony Robbins in a minute and artificial intelligence. So just, in case you don't want to hear me talk about weather, stay tuned because that's coming up. But I've just got to get this out of my system about the weather. There is a very good reason why in the wintertime we struggle to have the energy that we have during the summer. And there's actually a couple of good reasons. One of them has to do with freezing cold. There is, right now, you could put on some nice high-tech fleece and fancy clothing and thermal underwear and expensive boots. And you could actually go out there in this freezing cold and you could probably go cross-country skiing. You could probably manage to survive out there for quite some time, a couple of hours at least, half a day, maybe a full day, because of modern technology. But in the past, if it was -1 degree out, you were not heading outside without putting yourself in severe risk. The other thing is nowadays you go out in this and let's say your car breaks down or let's say something does happen and you are out in this cold, you can always just use your cell phone and you can call for help and someone will hop in a car, zip over to you quickly and get you to safety. That has not been the case throughout most of human history, however, that if you went out in this cold and something were to happen to you, maybe your maybe you got lost, or maybe the horse you were riding had a problem, or fill in any kind of a blank. Well, how long were you going to survive when you were out in 2 degree weather and you were far from anything and you didn't know where you were? Well, the answer is not very long. So the reason, the way the human body is compensated for that is by making you not really want to do a whole heck of a lot when it's really cold out. And that's natural and it's normal. And yet, like so many other things I've been talking about this week, we tend to blame ourselves. Why am I so lazy? Why am I gaining weight? Why am I not going, why don't I want to go to the gym? Why am I not doing all the things I need to do? Why do I just want to sit home and have a cup of hot chocolate under these blankets and sit in front of a fireplace or the modern equivalent thereof, which would be a TV screen? Why do I not want to go anywhere? And the answer is because in the past, if human beings wanted to go out in this cold, and I'm sure there were some who did, but they didn't survive to pass on their genes. And so we are not descended from them. We are descended from the common sense people who stayed indoors and said, you guys, you go ahead, you go out on your track out in the snow. I'll be right here waiting for you when you come back. And when those guys didn't come back, you're the ones, or whoever that was the one our ancestor passed on their genes to us. So once again, I'm real big on self-control, and I'm real big on knowing what we're responsible for and doing the things we're responsible for. But I'm also real big on not blaming ourselves and not allowing ourselves to blame ourselves for things that are absolutely not our fault. So I said before, clicking on various things on a website, we were talking about how the neuromarketers and all of the people who put together the social media have designed it and video games and so many other things today to be as maximally addictive as possible so that you can't just watch one video, you're clicking 5 and 10, and before you know it, an hour's gone by or half a day. The same is true for food. The food has been actually carefully chemically formulated to encourage maximum consumption and to make sure that you can't just eat one, but you eat the whole bag. The same is true. This one isn't by anyone particularly setting out to mess you up, but your own genetics, your own survival instinct says stay indoors when it's cold. Now, there's a second piece to that, and this has to do with the sunshine. So in New Hampshire, when I was living there, and it would be cold out, and I wouldn't get outside enough, there are really two things to keep in mind. Number one is vitamin D. Super important. The majority of people living in North America in the wintertime in places where there's limited sun have vitamin D deficiency. The numbers are shocking. I was recently reading about this. And when I had my own blood test taken a couple months ago, big shocker, I came out like almost critically low in vitamin D. And I have a very good friend who had to go to the hospital and be put on IVs because her vitamin D levels were so low. So in the past, our ancestors got vitamin D through their diets. There's a lot of things that people would eat in the wintertime, particularly fatty fish and other sorts of things that the only animal you're going to be catching in February is a fish, pretty much, because most of the other animals have either hibernated or migrated, but all of those fatty fish and various other foods that contain vitamin D is what people were consuming. But we're not doing that. We're not eating the vitamin D things. In fact, we are kind of messed up in terms of what we eat in the wintertime. You could, if you chose to, be eating strawberries and watermelon in February in the snow, because now we're transporting that from all over the place. But God did not intend for you to survive on a diet of summer foods in the wintertime, because in the wintertime you have different nutritional needs. And I'm not saying don't eat watermelon and strawberries if it's offered to you, but we need to be taking vitamin D supplements because we're not getting it from our diets. All right. As promised, I'm going to talk about Tony Robbins. I want to talk a little bit more about light and how to keep yourself from getting depressed in all the cold and darkness. Stay tuned. It's Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be right back.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine.
All right, let me talk about light shining. Land of deep darkness, that's kind of wintertime. The thing about light, let me talk about light for a minute, and there's a difference between light and cold. Light is essential for your mental functioning and well-being and energy, and here's why. When we are in the sunshine, the sunlight goes through a slightly translucent portion on the front of our skull and hits a gland called the pineal gland. I think it's about the size of a peanut without the shell. That little tiny gland in your forehead, which I guess Eastern mystics refer to as the third eye, because that's kind of where it's located, but it's really a gland in there. It produces a steady stream of sleepy stuff. And the only thing that stops it from producing its sleepy chemical is sunshine, is light. So, and by light, I mean light. I don't mean necessarily sunshine, just light. So when light is shining on your forehead for X number of hours a day, then that pineal gland is suppressed from producing its sleepy stuff. And when light is not shining on it, then it is producing the sleepy stuff. And this is the reason why if you are in a cloudy environment where there's not a lot of light, or you're indoors and your lights are dim, or for whatever reason, you are not getting enough light. And in the wintertime, especially those of us who live in the northern portion of the country, there are fewer hours of daylight. I know that here in the summertime, sometimes I think it was getting dark till like 9 p.m. And now it's better now, but on December 21st, I think the longest or shortest day of the year, it was getting dark at like 4:45. The sun wasn't coming up till like 8 a.m. So it depends on where you are. But in the wintertime, there's just fewer hours of that light to shine on your pineal gland. The reason this is so important for us, for our ancestors, it was probably a good thing that they just wanted to stay in, bundle up, and eat their stored potatoes and cabbage and apples and slabs of bacon and all the stuff they had put together and stored up in the fall in harvest time to make sure that they would be able to get through the winter. And it was probably a good thing that they did not want to go outside and do a whole lot, because there's really not a lot to do out in the snow when you're in agricultural, when you've got your season. The sun comes up in the spring, you do your planting, and then you do your weeding, and then you do your harvesting, and then you do your resting, right? The wintertime was a time of just slowing down and resting. We have not given ourselves the grace of understanding this annual cycle that happens in our lives, and we expect to have the same degree of energy. In fact, probably one of the most energy consuming times of the year is Christmas time, right? Because everybody's running around. You've got so much to do. And it's the time when your body is feeling the most like not running around and doing all of the stuff. So in the old days, people would sit indoors and they would knit, or they would sew, or they would spin fiber, or if they were men, they would sharpen their tools and they would whittle and they would do carpentry and things indoors. But this idea that we would just be rah, 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 go, like we normally are, is just not the case. So don't be down on yourself. I think one of the reasons that people get depressed in the wintertime, in addition to the lack of vitamin D and the lack of light in their pineal gland putting out, depressive, meaning slowing down chemicals, is because also we blame ourselves. Like, what's wrong with me? Why don't I have the energy I normally would have? There's another part which has to do with weight. You will probably gain weight in the wintertime because in the wintertime, the food your body's craving is heavy. Your body is craving warm, heavy, fatty foods. And that is, once again, for survival, because our ancestors who ate the warm, fatty, calorie-rich, calorie-dense, protein-rich foods in the wintertime, well, they survived to pass on their genes. And those who just wanted to eat things they couldn't even eat, like, vegetables or salad or whatever, wasn't around. But those guys who did not eat in the wintertime didn't survive. So the light part, and I'm going to probably talk about this till the bottom of the hour, and then I got to talk about Tony Robbins because he's got this new AI thing that's making me nuts, and I got to talk about it. But a couple things you can do in the wintertime, and I'll just share with you some of the things I have found helpful. First of all, take vitamin D. Do not take vitamin D2. It is the one that your doctor will prescribe for you. Take vitamin D3. That is the natural one that is cheap, and you can get it any place that fine vitamins are sold. The difference between them is that vitamin D3 is natural, cannot be patented because it, God made it, and it's just in food, and it exists as a supplement and a nutrient and a vitamin that's good for us. The pharmaceutical industry has done this with more than just vitamin D. It's done this with fish oil. It's done this with, progesterone and estrogen. It's done this with a couple of different substances that cannot be patented, and yet the human body, if it doesn't get enough of it, will suffer. And so doctors want you to take vitamin D. They want you to take fish oil if you have heart issues. There are certain foods and nutrients that God made that are super good for you, but you can't make any money off of it. If you're Pfizer or you're, you know, some big pharmaceutical company, you cannot patent vitamin D. And the only way you're going to be able to have a prescription and have an insurance company pay for it and have it go through the pharmacy and have a doctor need to write the prescription, and only he can write it, is if you modify the substance ever so slightly chemically so that you can patent your modification. And so this is the reason why vitamin D2 even exists at all. Vitamin D2 was not a thing up until pharmaceutical companies made it a thing. So my my own stepfather, who was on, I don't know, like 13, 15 different prescription medications when he passed a number of years back, he refused to not take the vitamin D2 that his doctor prescribed, because like all the rest of us, he was vitamin D deficient. His doctor said, here, let me write you a script. And he ran it to the pharmacy and paid a bunch of money and had the insurance company pay for it, had his little vitamin D2 pills and was taking those. And when my mother tried to sensibly say to him, you know, we don't need to be taking that. Why don't you just take regular vitamin? He refused. He said, no, this is what my doctor gave me, and this is what I'm going to do. Gosh darn it. That is, that kind of mindset is actually pretty prevalent. And in many cases, it's the right mindset. If your doctor says to do it, you might want to do it. But in the case of supplements, especially vitamin D, you don't want to do that. Same thing with, you know, really anything. If they're prescribing something to you and you could just get it yourself, probably want to get the version you can get yourself. But vitamin D, super essential. I used to have, as a regular guest in the winter times, the gentleman who heads up the Vitamin D Council, I will check with Tiffany and see if we can get him back on the show, because he was a wealth of information. I learned so much about vitamin D from him. One thing that he taught me and taught the listeners back then is that there's really no such thing as overdosing on vitamin D. You can overdose on vitamin A, certainly, if you eat a bear liver. It stores vitamin A in its liver, and many hunters have perished, literally died, after eating bear liver after a hunt, because bear liver has way too much vitamin A in it, and too much vitamin A will kill you dead. Vitamin D is not that way. So you don't want to overdose on it, but you would need, oh my gosh, you would need crazy high amounts of it for weeks and weeks and weeks on end to show any sign at all of it. So do not stress out and worry about taking vitamin D. I have, the pills I got, I think, are 5,000 international units, and I will literally pour out a couple of them, several of them in my hand and just take them. Now, that's way higher, I don't know, tens, 20 so times higher than the USRDA for vitamin D. But if you were to eat food containing vitamin D, you'd be getting those high amounts as well. So when I found out I was deficient, I just started taking a lot of vitamin D. And the other thing that I do, that I did, and I think it was a great idea, is my kids were home for Christmas, my adult college-age kids, and I bought vitamin D gummies at Aldi's. And I think they were like $8, and I got a big container of them. And I put them out in a candy dish in my kitchen. And every time my kids went by, they'd grab one or two. Well, it takes two of those, I think, to be 1,000 units. So you could eat, you know, I don't know, handfuls of them, and you would not OD, because you really can't OD on vitamin D. There's no acute OD of it that I'm aware of. You would have to, you know, eat probably 10 bottles of those from Aldi's in one day. The having too much of it over time can cause, I think it was like a white, and again, I'm not a doctor. Do not take this as medical advice, et cetera, et cetera. Put all my disclaimers out there. But the taking too much vitamin D has an effect on your eyes, and it is reversible by stopping taking it. I think it's like a white film in your eyes is what I remember reading about. But anyway, take vitamin D, please. Vitamin D3, just take it however you need to get it. And as far as light goes, expose yourself to light. So my son, I think I've told this story before, but my son Peter, who does the technology around here and manages the radio show, he, a couple of years ago, saw that his mom was feeling pretty bummed from not having enough light in the winter. Okay, probably my pineal gland knocking me out. He went out to Harbor Freight. There are Harbor Freights all over the country. He bought the long string of outdoor lights, like the patio lights. So there are, have them here in my room. What are there? I don't know, like 10 or 12 on a string. That was, I think, $30 for a string. And it comes with the little lights, but the little lights are small, like for your patio. And so what he did is he ordered the 100-watt bulbs off of Amazon. They actually are plastic bulbs, which is great, so they don't break. And screwed, got rid of those old ones it came with. They don't come screwed in, but screwed in the new 100-watt bulbs from Amazon. I think they're like 15 watts a piece of actual energy. And plugged them in my kitchen, and I felt like a lizard under a heat lamp. If you've ever seen a cold-blooded reptile under a heat lamp, they have no heat of their own, but if you turn the light on, they'll just go right up under it, and you'll see their little eyes going up and their little heads going up and their eyes closed. That was me in my kitchen. I remember walking under that thing and going, oh my God, and I felt like I was being filled with life. Like life was coming into me from those lights. So long story short, I have put those. I have plastic stick'em hooks around the top of my ceiling on the wall. And I have three of those light sets. So let's see, 100 times. I have 3,000 watts of light blazing in my room. And I flip it on when I wake up in the morning. And it has changed my life, having light. All right, I'll be right back.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
For the mountains, my moon, and the hills disappear.
Also in my chat room at katherine-albrecht.com in the live chat room there, saying he loves this song too. I love this song because when I was praying about what to do with this ministry and this calling that the Lord's put on my life, and I was saying, there is too much for me to do. What do I need to scale back? What do I need to focus on? Because that's typically what we do when we're overworked. And the answer that I got from him was that answer from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, which said, enlarge your house. Pull up your tent pegs and spread them out further. If you've ever pitched a tent, you know what that means. Make it bigger. Pull them out. You're going to be busting at the seams. It's coming. And it has been such a wonderful journey watching the Lord bring every resource that I need to do exactly that. So I love that song. All right. I just posted in the chat room. If you head to my chat room, go to Catherine-Albrecht.com, click on the live chat. And I just posted a link to the Harbor Freight Light, do I have the right one? This is the one. $27 Hampton Bay White, 24 feet. Are they 24 feet long? I guess they are. I'm turning around in my studio to see them. I have two sets of lights up, and I just got the stickers, the wall hooks stickers. And I got those at Dollar Tree. I got them today, actually. They are $3 for a 3-pack. Dollar Tree used to be a dollar, and then it was $1.25. Now it's $1.50 for pretty much everything in the store. And now, because you can't really run a store on things that cost a dollar, even $1.50, they have brought in to Dollar Tree the higher priced items in there. So you can find $5 and $8 and $10 items in there. I appreciate it. Sometimes I go in there and I'm like, oh man, I didn't just spend what I planned to spend because things weren't just a dollar, but the stickers are great. So I posted it. Come in my chat room, Catherine-Albrecht.com. You see both links there. The link to the Harbor Freight, I'll tell you what it is. Harbor Freight Luminar, Luminar. That's the brand. Luminar outdoor 24-foot LED outdoor string lights in white. They come in black and white. If you, for whatever reason, have black walls, don't get the black ones. Paint your walls because it's too depressing to be indoors with dark walls. So I highly recommend the white ones. And the link to the 100-watt bulbs available on Amazon. I also posted that as well. And the cool thing about that, hang on, let me double check, is it is, quote, quality shatterproof material. You'll want that because the bulbs themselves are not that thin glass that light bulbs are normally made out of, but they're shatterproof plastic. And when you have a 24-foot string of lights, believe me, that thing's going to be bonking around and smashing into stuff while you're trying to get it up on the wall. And if you have glass lights, they'll probably break. So I really love these. They're bright. They're daylight white. They're not the soft kind of a candlelight color. They are bright. They're also not the bright blue, blinding, yucky, fluorescent looking ones. They're just bright white. And if you put, I first learned this, so Peter's the one who came, he was out here for Christmas and going, Mom, you seem like you're a little depressed. And I wasn't depressed, but I was like, And he plugs in these lights and I'm like, oh, life, light, it's great. And after that, he's the one who actually climbed up on a stepladder and put up all these hooks in my room. And he did it because he had a friend in college whose wife, let me see, a college friend who later, years later, was married and had a wife who'd come over from the desert in China and was going to law school. And in the desert in China, apparently, there's a lot of sun. And they were living, I want to say, like in some miserable place like Seattle or Portland, Oregon, where you never see the sun. I know because I lived there, both places. It's very, very, very bad for rain and clouds. And people who are from there love it, but people who are not from there have a hard time with it. So anyway, she was there and found herself getting immensely depressed. And her husband went out, he cooked up this idea. I think her husband and my son together cooked up this idea and put up like 5 strings of light. So there's like 5,000 watts of light. You also have to put on sunglasses. But it cured her seasonal depression, and she was able to complete law school when she was thinking of dropping out due to her mental health, just her not feeling well. So I learned this lesson, and I told Peter, if you turn this into a business, you can make a fortune. If you came up with a way to install these in people's homes and rescue them from seasonal depression, it would be amazing. I have so many friends who tell me that in the wintertime they feel like garbage, and I just wish I could go into all their homes and put these lights up because they really, really do work. So the number of watts on here, you do not need to get a new panel for your electrical what do you call that panel? I don't know. You don't need a new electrical panel for it. These things are only, I want to say, 15 watts a piece of power. So when you have 10 of them, you're really only running 150 watts. Maybe they're 20 watts a piece, 200 watts. So you're not, this is not a huge electrical drain on your electrical system, because the lights have become so efficient that you get 100 watts of equivalent of lumens. Amount of actual light put out, but you are not consuming that much electricity to do it. So you don't need to, you know, have special circuitry or anything else. I just have a power strip, a standard power strip coming out of my wall. I just plug it in and I plug these lights into the power strip. And then in the morning, I just click them on. When I first did this a couple winters ago, I put them on a timer. And because I wanted the experience of having the actual summer sun come up, and my timer was set to make them turn on. And boy, when they turn on, it's like instant. It's not like the sun kind of gradually sneaks up on you. This thing is like, boom, the light of a thousand suns in 1 second. But I had it on a timer to do that boom while I was still asleep at about 6:30 in the morning. And even if I continued sleeping, I was sleeping in the sun and my brain was waking up while I was asleep. So if you put it on a timer, that's another way to do it if you don't think you'll wake up and remember to flick them on. But I set my alarm goes off, I wake up. And lately, I don't even need my alarm. I just kind of wake up, but I'm tired. And then I just reach over groggily, click the little button, because it's on my nightstand, on the power strip, you know, a little on-off on the power strip, and boom, they all go on. So it is life-changing. It's amazing. It's been absolutely fantastic. So, all right. I didn't even get to Tony Robbins, but I think I'm gonna. Oh, and I got one more thing. I do have something else to say on light. So back in Southern California in my early 20s, it was one of these winters where we did not see the sun for weeks and weeks and weeks at all. And it was raining every day. It was miserable. And my mom, bless her heart, she passed away in 2019. But my wonderful mom bundled me up, and I was like, I can only imagine what I was like when she had to bundle me up, because I could barely even function. I was so miserable. And she put me in the car in the rain, in the dark. It was probably 6 o'clock in the evening, and drove me to a tanning salon, which I'd never been to one before. And I went into the tanning salon and had that same experience I did in the kitchen when Peter was holding these lights over my head. The experience of going in as a half-dead zombie and coming out like wanting to tap dance and sing, because I felt so good. So I have, in extreme cases of lacking light, I have actually gotten, in New Hampshire, I used to do this, I got a... I don't know. They had some drawing, and I pulled out the drawing from the hat, and I won the like 15 tanning sessions. So I guess you'd call that a membership, whatever you want to call that. But I would use them. And when I would go, because I'm very fair and pale, if you've ever seen my picture, I would cover my body, literally would cover myself in sunscreen to not have the not have my skin turn red. But I would go in there and just the light, just the literal light from the tanning. So that stuff can be addictive, so you know, use with caution. But if you need to go a couple times in the winter, it's not going to addict you, it's not going to hurt you, and it may just rescue you. So if you're ever in a state of deep seasonal depression, I can personally vouch for the wonders of a tanning salon to help with that. So vitamin D, tanning salons, and light, all of those are critically important. All right. I'll be right back. All right. Stay tuned. Stay warm. Stay lit.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to americasfreedomnetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's americasfreedomnetwork.com. Thank you.
Righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea. Peace flowing like a gentle river. Righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea.
Peace. All right. So, in part, I think we are meant to relax and enjoy part of the slowing down of the wintertime. Ray writes in from Pennsylvania, nature shows us that bears hibernate in the winter. I think that, well, I think a lot of things. All right, I'm gonna hold that thought. But yes, bears hibernate in the winter. And what do? They put on a ton of weight. You ever seen a big, fat, lumbering bear, and they're all blubber, and then they go into their cave, and they come out in the spring, and they're pretty skinny because they got to be eaten. You know, their bodies need to consume all that fat to stay alive while they're hibernating, and then they come out kind of thin, and their big, thick pelts hang off of them and flop around until they eat lots of things in the spring and then do it all over again. So there is a season. There is a seasonality, as we talked about yesterday, of harvest time and springtime, and a time to sleep and a time to be awake and a time to be cold and a time to be warm. And it's all part of the big picture of the cycles of living here on Earth. And as much as we try to get around them through technology, through light and heat and the different ways to avoid the annoyance of the changing of the seasons, it is a real thing. It's really happening out there. And I think that we need to at least acknowledge it and give ourselves a little bit of a break about it. All right. I said I was going to talk about Tony Robbins. I can't do that in 10 minutes. I have so much to say about that guy. In a nutshell, and I'll talk about this on an upcoming show, but in a nutshell, Tony Robbins is the you probably heard of him. He's been around for decades now. He is the 6'7". I think he's worth $600 million. Was it? I think 660. I don't know. $6-something million. He's worth a lot of money. He is a motivational speaker, and he has a whole lot of people subscribing to attend his conferences or attend them virtually or just hear what he has to say. And his latest thing is he's come out with an AI version of himself. An artificial intelligence version of himself, and people are raving about it. It's like $99. was it? It's a dollar at first, $99. Anyway, I don't want to go into it in great detail because I want to talk about it later. But it's ridiculous because you can talk. You can actually have Tony Robbins in your pocket and you can talk to him. And it's his voice and it's his thoughts. Cough, cough. You know, it responds to your questions the way he would respond to your questions, assuming that someone else has asked the question in the past and he's ever answered it before. But this time he's talking to you like, yo. Yo, Kylie, I think you know, it's anyway. So that's just got me annoyed, a little bit annoyed. I'm annoyed with a lot of things about AI, but I did want to say a little more about light. So I'm going to do that right now. The pineal gland, have a whole bunch of window links and things open on it. Let me just read you a couple things. Where is the pineal gland located? Now, I said it was behind that part of your forehead. It's actually deep inside the brain, but the structures inside your forehead do receive the light. The light comes in through that translucent part of your forehead, also through the retina in your eyes, and your body, your brain is exquisitely attuned to the amount of light. And it is impacted, your circadian rhythm, your waking and sleeping patterns are impacted by light through melatonin and other hormones that are produced by the pineal gland. So one of the problems with working nights, for example, is that when you're working nights, you're in the light and there is never a time, unless you are really scrupulous about getting light blocking curtains and blackout curtains and making sure that there's no light at all, there's not a time during the day or night when your brain has an opportunity to experience pure darkness. It is vital for health to experience pure darkness for a certain number of hours a day. This is why you do not want to sleep with a nightlight on. You do not want to sleep with your bathroom light on or your closet light on in your room, because research has found that rates of cancer, breast cancer among women and cancers among men, that in people who work nights, their rates of cancer go up. And the reason is that your body requires that period of darkness in order to do the kind of repair and produce the substances you need to stay healthy. And cancer is one of the things that can go wrong. So if you're working nights, and I know there's probably some people out there listening who do, then make absolutely sure that during the day, during your 8 hours of sleep, that you are doing that in the pitch dark. Right, in the pitch dark. And those of us who are sleeping at night, make sure that you turn your lights off. This is another one of the reasons why, this is the reason why it's a bad idea to be on your phone at night. So, you know, millions of us, hundreds of millions of us who are looking at Netflix on a TV screen or are looking at whatever it is on our computer screens at night, are looking at blue light. I'm looking out my window right now at this beautiful blue sky. Well, what does blue mean to your eyes and your brain? Well, blue means daytime. So if you're looking at a blue screen at night, you're confusing the daylights, cough, cough, no pun intended. You're confusing the daylights out of your body because you are simultaneously sending a signal that you want to be sleeping, but that the sky is blue and there's light. And wait a minute, your body's going, but hang on, we don't sleep when it's sky blue, when the sky is blue and there's blue light. And yet you're on your phone there until 11, 12 o'clock at night. And then you think you're going to be able to just turn off the phone, turn off your lights, and your brain is going to go, oh, okay, I'm fine with that. You just tell me what to do, because your brain doesn't work like that. Your brain is working on all kinds of external information and data that it's processing. And one of those pieces of data is the color of the light that you're exposed to. There are apps that you can do in settings on your phone where you can set it to, after say 8 p.m., to change the lighting to yellow lighting. And yellow lighting for all of human history has meant campfires, has meant fireplaces, has meant the kind of lighting that comes from a lamp, a lantern, a candle, the sorts of light that you would have in the evening. Think about it. In 1750, was there any source of light you could have at night that would be blue? Heck no. The only source of light you were going to have after the sun went down would be yellow based, because it would be based on combustion, on flames, on something burning, whether it was a fire in your fireplace or a a wick in your candle, whatever it was, would be burning yellow. And so if you want to help your body, if you're dealing with sleeplessness and not being able to get to bed or stay asleep at night, then consider either stopping all exposure to blue light after about 8 p.m. or consider installing one of those apps onto your phone. The other thing you can do if you're having difficulty sleeping, it very well could be your brain responding to these things, is you can get yellow light bulbs. And you can either get yellow light bulbs, which I think are kind of ugly, or you can get those really deep, warm light bulbs. I think on the link that I was just looking at on the, the link I just put on my in my chat room for the, one of those was showing the different colors of light bulbs. So you've got the bright blue ones, you've got the white, bright, sunshiny ones, you've got the yellow ones, and then you've got kind of the candly yellow ones. You can actually get a couple of lamps and put them in the room where you spend your evenings. And in those lamps, you know, you don't have to turn them on any other time of the day, but after about 8 p.m., you can turn those lights on, and you will be sending your brain a signal that brains have been receiving for thousands of years, that it is nighttime, and the light that you're being exposed to is the kind of light that happens at night. And I betcha that you will have a much better time sleeping if you just moderate these the lights that you're surrounding yourself with. All right, a couple other things. Pineal gland, endocrine gland located. Its importance in the circadian cycle of sleep produces the hormone melatonin. Hang on, I got another one I wanted to read you here. Located just above the brainstem. I mean, this is deep. You know, things that are in your brainstem, you don't have any control over those. That is the deepest, most fundamental part of your bodily functions, right? Your brainstem is the core of your body operating separate from your consciousness. And so you need to help your brainstem. You're not going to be able to help it by thinking. You're going to be able to help it by thoughtfully creating an environment for it to function better. All right. Pineal gland disorders, functions. All right. Yeah, your pineal gland releases the highest level of melatonin when there's darkness, and it decreases melatonin production when you're exposed to light. Regulates your circadian rhythm. Light at night causes an acute suppression of the pineal gland, leading to all kinds of problems. So there's lots of links on this. You can just look up pineal gland impact by light. That's, I think, the search I did in Start Page here. So, all right, well, good. I'm glad we had a chance to talk about light. It's really important, and hopefully I gave you some tips that you can use to help get through this winter time. So cold. All right. I don't know if I'll be around next week because I'm going to be at the conference, the CMH conference in Kalamazoo, Michigan, with all of the statewide community mental health organizations. So be praying for me, and I will be back on Wednesday night, so I will definitely be live Thursday and Friday. All right. God bless.